Good morning. It's time for the K-State Research and Extension Report, and joining us this morning is Frontier Extension District Crop Production and Farm Management Agent Ryan Schaub. Good morning, Ryan.
Good morning.
Now, alfalfa is the topic of the day.
Yeah.
Let's get right into it.
We'll take a break from the pest that we've been talking about here the last month, it seems like, or more than that. So, yeah, just wanted to talk a lot about alfalfa today. You know, in 2024, I guess it kind of surprised me, there was almost 600,000 acres of alfalfa harvested across the state. That high-protein, highly digestible forage is going to be used to support the dairy operations out in western Kansas, the horse industry within the state, and the livestock or the cattle industry as well. So a lot of places that this forage can go and can provide some support for. And the reason we're talking alfalfa is because now is the time to think about getting that alfalfa planted. So there's a window in the late summer to early fall, so think like late August to the middle of September is kind of that window when we want to get that crop planted. If we plant too late, we're going to run the risk of that crop coming up and not getting a good enough establishment of its roots before that first frost, and we can cause significant damage or maybe even have stand failure. One of the things this year's better than some is available moisture. So if we don't have available moisture, it makes it really tough to get that crop out of the ground. This year, I'm a touch worried. Do we have too much? If we have too much moisture, we can see an increase in diseases. We can also see poor nodulation or the nitrogen fixation ability of that alfalfa plant. And, you know, while we don't have a lot of alfalfa planted in the district, we do have, there's several producers that do plant alfalfa. Probably the main reason people don't plant it is due to the high cost, and we can't think of it as a one-year crop. Alfalfa is truly a 4 or 5 year at least crop, at least 4 years, probably 5 years crop. And so it's critical to get good stand that first year, but we also need to think about spreading those expenses out over the course of that 4 to 5 years that we have that crop. And if we do that, it actually looks like it pencils out, looks like it's fairly inexpensive. So let's talk about some of those things that we need to keep in mind when planting our alfalfa. First, before we plant anything, I always tell you, soil test. We want to check that pH. Okay, alfalfa is a legume, meaning it likes pHs in that 6.5 to 7.5 range. And if we have too low of a pH, we're going to have to add lime to raise that. And just know, lime, if we broadcast it, it doesn't move through the soil profile very much. So we want to do this, we want to apply that lime before we would plant. We can really work it into the ground then and get that good and incorporated. The next reason we want to take a soil test is to check our phosphorus and potassium levels. In 2023, I was a part of a research study in the district. We had, well, in eastern Kansas, there's 30 fields of alfalfa, 17 of which were found in the Frontier District. 46% of the fields needed phosphorus, while 36% of those fields needed potassium. I will also tell you, regardless of what your soil test comes back in for potassium, if we're going to plant alfalfa, Gary Kilgore, former K-State Extension agronomist, would always tell you, put on 30 pounds of potassium at planting. The reason being, there's chloride in our potassium chloride that we apply. That chloride helps fight helps those young seedlings fight off diseases. Just a little of an insurance policy there. Other information coming out of that 2023 study was 86% of the fields needed sulfur, and 100% of the fields were deficient in boron. So two other nutrients that we can consider to put on these alfalfa fields. We want to remember we want to plant in a firm seed bed. Obviously, we've got to have moisture to get that crop up, but we don't want to go too deep. You know, only about a half inch deep. If we go any deeper than that, we risk that plant not getting through. So that is something to consider. what did we have there before this alfalfa crop? So make sure we go back through our records, check our herbicides, make sure that we're not carrying over anything that's going to damage those young seedlings. And then just finding something that's a variety that's going to fit our area. One, we want some pest resistance. Two, we do want a fall dormancy rating between 4 and 6. If we plant something that has a fall dormancy rating of like 9, like they'd plant in California where alfalfa grows basically year round, it's not going to do well here. So again, it's a fairly expensive crop if you look at it as a one-time or a one-year crop. But if we look at it again over that course of 4 to 5 years, where we get a good stand, we also have proper management, we can really make that a fairly inexpensive crop. I'm going to round out this with, I talk about fall dormancy, making sure that we do that proper management and think about that cutting. So that second to last cutting is pretty critical. We don't want to go to the two-thirds bloom, or let's kind of forget about the plant a little bit and start thinking about the weather. We want 4 to 6 weeks of growing conditions after that second to last cutting so that the plant has enough enough time to replenish the carbohydrates that it used to regrow. So alfalfa is going to stop growing when it gets to that first hard frost, so 26 degrees or lower, think middle of October, probably. Now, that's probably the statewide average. It could be anywhere from October 1 to probably the middle of November, honestly. But just something to consider, if we cut that too late and we don't give that plant enough time, we open winter damage, you know, that plant up to winter damage. We also open it up so that winter damage would also lead to like slower green up, less production next spring. So just something to consider as we're talking about alfalfa is getting that cutting, trying to time that out just about right. So anyways, if you guys have questions, you want to give me a call, the office number is 785-448-6826.
Again, I always feel like I'm learning something. You know, one of these days I'm going to be able to go out there and do all this stuff myself. Coming up Monday morning at 6:40, Frontier Extension District Family and Consumer Sciences Agent specializing in nutrition, food safety, and health, Chelsea Richmond.